To Helen and Timothy Hollister, the current residents of 32 Null Street. If you were any other family, I would have skipped the formalities. But since I introduced myself to you by skipping the formalities in the first place, I suppose I shall have to conclude this relationship by being as cordial and direct as I can. I didn't start by writing a letter, and that would seem rather backwards to anyone else in any other situation, but given my current circumstances, the stipulations of what some might refer to as my occupation and the general effect I have on others, I thought our acquaintanceship would be a short one. But you've done the exact opposite of what I'd hoped. With all the hours you've spent on those infernal machines of yours, and the endless parade of sham psychics and so-called occultists, all the times you've tried to contact me with Ouija boards and automatic writers and the like, you are all, without a doubt, the most tenacious family I have ever come across. So I have need to break the rules, if there ever were any in my line of work. Before you lose patience, please note that in order to explain who I am and elucidate the point I'm getting at, I'll need to go about this in a roundabout way. If I don't, you might not believe a word of this. You may remember how, during your first night here, that antique grandfather clock of yours, which you had just set up in the main hallway, fell over and shattered, mere inches away from where you, Helen, were standing. That was my handshake. I could have hurt you then, Helen. I could have toppled that old clock, chimes, glass and all, onto you. It wouldn't have killed you, but it would have required a hospital trip. All of those fractured bones, sprains, and lacerations. It would have soured your disposition towards the place quite quickly, and would have set a good tone for what was to come. Maybe it would have, at least, made you the dissenting voice when you inevitably decided to leave. But alas, I decided to be merciful. I think that was my biggest mistake. Even as I write this letter, I can sense your derision and disbelief in what I'm insinuating, despite the fact that this letter is to confirm a theory you've all been following. So let me offer some more concrete evidence. After I had greeted you, I contented myself in doing small things over long stretches of time, closing doors in the middle of the night, moving chairs while you and yours weren't looking, setting off the mouse traps when you began putting them out, and interfering with your security cameras. Typical, but I had grown lazy in my duty. You stopped noticing these things as much after a few weeks, but by then you had other things to worry about. Like the dark figure your son saw at the foot of his bed every night for a week. Or the presence that she felt watching you from the other side of that pane of glass while you showered. You didn't think for a second that I was your husband. You, Helen, but But you were too afraid to wipe away the condensation. Too afraid of what you might see. I could taste your raw animal fear in that vulnerability through the glass. Did you think you might see a corpse, the specter of a previous tenant, as befitting the stories you'd heard, or maybe something more substantial? Hopefully doubt and worry are creeping up on you, but maybe your patience is wearing thin, so I shall offer far more intimate proof. This time I'll direct it to you, Timothy. You didn't tell your wife about some of the dreams you had during those first few weeks, did you? Dreams of being crammed into your old toy chest in the room you had as a child, while you listened to the lion's pad around your room, sniffing and scratching, getting closer and closer revolution, until they could finally smell you. And then that nightmare in particular was one which plagued you throughout your adolescence, was it not? You'd forgotten about it until you moved here. How did you feel when it resurfaced? Did you feel nauseous at the memories this brought back to the surface? Do you still remember all those quiet nights spent huddling under your covers, listening, anticipating the sound of heavy breathing from inside your closet? Do you remember the man who inspired those fears? The vagrant who had made his way into your home while your parents were vacationing in Florida? The man you hid from when you heard his footsteps down the hall as he searched through each room? Do you remember hearing him go into your room, listening from within that toy chest as he walked around? Remember what you felt when he opened the lid and looked down at you with those dull, glassy eyes? Of course you do. I doubt you could ever forget it. This is only one nightmare of many, which I can now access. The longer you and yours stay in this house, the more attuned you become to me, and the more deeply I can gaze into you. Right now you're hopefully looking around you, staring into the shadows and wondering when you'll hear the rattle of bones and the clamor of chains. Doubtless, some part of you is wondering how this can be possible, if this is some kind of joke. But I'm willing to bet a larger part of you is alight with excitement and terror, because now you have your confirmation. Does it frighten you to know that ghosts are real? That there is, in fact, life after death? That the human consciousness can exist incorporeally outside time's reach? All those possibilities. Maybe some of your loved ones are still anchored to this plane, somewhere you know. And that brings me to the issue at hand. All of these aggressions were not meant to kill you, scare you, traumatize you, even hurt you if need be, but not kill you. I remember what it was like to be warm, to breathe, to be able to touch and speak and move freely across this world. I would never willingly take away that from another. Especially not if there's a chance they may end up like me, bound to an earthly prison and tethered by some arbitrarily decided length and width of physical space. I'd keep you safe from that, or I suspect worse, if I could. But things are moving beyond my control, and I'm afraid, not for myself, but for you. Because I am not the only supernatural force at work here. There's not much I know about the thing which sleeps beneath you, even after all these years. I don't know where it comes from, whether it was here before the house was built, or if it was summoned after, or even if it can think on our level. In fact, I was 120 years dead and trapped in this place before I even felt its presence. What I do know is that it drifts in the darkness between the foundations and the bedrock, stretched taut beneath the boundaries of human perception and the material world. Unseen, but there all the same. It is not a ghost, nor is it something so easily classifiable as a vampire or a zombie or a ghoul. It's a being without warmth or breath, a thing inorganic, yet not artificial. A thing of fractals and horns and broken limbs. An alien in the truest sense of the word. So alien, in fact, that my discovering it led me to be reminded of my own humanity. I'm sure by now you've started to feel its stirrings, even if you don't recognize. In fact, you assume my hand in these most recent disturbances, this fresh batch of attacks which go far beyond what you thought a haunting could be. It is this recent set of events, as well as your utter stubbornness and damnable curiosity, which prompted me to take this measure. I say to you now that these are not my doings. The dead flies on the sill, the earwigs at the basement, those massive spiders in the eaves. Those were my doings. The yellow flowers that poisoned your son, the cat found in tatters behind the refrigerator, the naked wet thing that each of you dreamt straddled you as you lay immobilized. Those were not my doings. I was the figure that your son saw in the attic window, Timothy. I was the presence your wife found beside her bed all those nights, and I was the hand that moved the planchette of the Ouija board that your daughter was playing with 2 weeks previously. But I am not the owner of the voice that you heard through your son's baby monitor. And I am not the cause of that spot on the paneling below the stairs. You know the one. Or at least one or two of you do. You try to deny what the buried primitive part of you tells you. But you felt that spot rise and fall like the belly of a breathing animal. Your fingers have brushed those fine ticklish hairs, and in each of you, I can sense the dread strengthen its hold as your attempts to rationalize what you're seeing fails. You can see that the spot is growing. The longer you stay here, the more protecting layers of ignorance get stripped away. The more your psyche is bared, the more you see, the closer it surfaces. I've managed to drive out every person I've met since I first encountered that inhuman sleeper in 1889. The world back then was still steeped in superstition. The dread of tangible threats hadn't fully taken place of fear of the unknown. So my job was simpler. Make my mark, let the word spread, and relish in the silence and passage of time. You, though, seem to represent the apex of this new mindset you modern men have all adopted. While you are still doubtlessly afraid of the unknown, you've silenced that primal part of you which tells you to run, and instead given yourself over to your curiosity. Your recent attempts to record my comings and goings on those machines are proof enough of that. You run towards the darkness, not from it. And that could cost you not just your bodies and minds, but your souls as well. That creature is waking up. It's feeling for you. Soon those flowers will start to push their way up through the cracks in the pavement and choke the rest of the garden. The things which killed your cat will begin to attack you. Maybe you'll even wake one night to find that one of those nude, cold things aren't just the conjurations of a nightmare. This house will come alive. The entity will begin to pull at the threads of natural law. My power will be shunted to some place dark and confining. And when that slumbering eldritch thing wakes fully, it will pull you all down to meet it. It's been reaching out to both of you. I've been forced from your dreams more than once in the past week. I don't know what it will do to you if it gets in, and that should scare you more than any torture I could describe. You've read my proofs and my reasons. You know about what lies beneath you. Now get out. Run, and don't look back. Find some place far away. Keep an eye on your son, and keep your minds and your eyes from the occult. Things like this leaves marks. Get out now. Let the sleeper stay asleep, and leave this place to rot. With utmost urgency, a certain shadow on the wall.